Yeah. I am starting my pickleball training regimen, Al. It starts next week.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like one of those things that you say, diet starts next week, but I'm going to do it.
Taylor, when's our tournament? When's our tournament start? Is it the following weekend? Is that when it is?
We talking pickleball?
Yeah. Yeah, our tournament that we're driving to in Tahoe.
Oh. I don't know, Sleep.
Okay, thank you.
Fill me in on that one.
For your time.
I thought you were talking about the actual one. I don't know when that is either. I'm just showing up on the day, and I'm going to, beat you guys with the frying pan if I have
off
to.
Based off of,
I like that idea. You play with a cast iron, just kind of hitting rockets back at other people.
You got people walking around. You can't stop them. You just can't stop Taylor. Based on what we were doing when Chris was here on Tuesday, I need some practice. It's the distance and all that. I need a little bit of work, so...
You're in a weird spot because you need to have somebody to play with.
Yeah, pick up pickleball.
I don't know if there's like a... You should go there. You know what you should do? Emily, see if you can help out with this. Google like pickleball partners in the Pasadena area. I guarantee.
Yeah, not doing that.
There's something.
I'm just showing
there.
Up to the court.
But you'll be standing there by yourself with your paddle.
Yeah, I'm going to find somebody to be like, yeah, can you come pick me up? I'm over by the Rose Bowl.
Take a ride. Just show up and hit the ball back and forth with
What's
somebody.
Going on with dinner?
Get Lady Slee a paddle.
The first
and go out there
up,
just hit
fine.
It back and forth.
Actually, Lady Slee would be, we'd have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have fun.
Just somebody to hit it back to you.
Rookie can fetch.
Yeah. I found something. So
Rookie
it's
would
the.
Tear up the ball.
Quote unquote, it's the Global Pickleball
How
Network.
Did you find that
there
so
you go.
Quick?
And then you can go to search Pasadena, California.
Sure.
And then pickleball players in Pasadena, California. And then there's Deborah, there's Stephanie, there's Blake, there's Jenna. You can have all these friends.
There's four options right there, Al. Four
there's
people
more.
That
there's
want
more.
To play yeah. pickleball.
So he's trying to recruit me to help his cause.
And you can go to contact.
Well, you're playing too.
And you can email them and you can say, hey, my name is Ellen Sliwa. I would like to be your partner in pickleball.
Emily, are you going to practice at all?
Yes. So my friend who I actually went to Mexican restaurant last night with, she loves pickleball. And so me and her are going to get out there and try to at least familiarize myself with the game.
Taylor,
I don't
want
to embarrass
show.
Myself.
Going to Pasadena.
All right. You and I.
You're on board now.
In Tahoe, too.
I just want some Thai food.
I got two restaurants.
You need to play.
Two restaurants for you out there.
You need to play. Because your lukewarm response to getting some reps in is having me worried.
No, I am going to play. I'm going to get some reps in. I'm not going to the pickleball. We're doing a pickleball tournament. I have to have an idea of what the hell I'm doing.
Has anybody figured out how to keep score yet? Because I never got around to looking up. There's something called the kitchen in pickleball, Slee.
I think it's make it, take it.
Is it?
I don't know.
There's the. It's called the kitchen. It's one of the squares on the court.
Okay.
I've only played a handful of times, and I kind of vaguely remember. I think the serve has to be in the kitchen, or you can't hit it in the kitchen after the first shot.
There's a good chance that when we're playing, we could make up whatever we want as far as scores and just say it passionately, and people will believe us.
Just make it up. Fake it till you make it?
Yes.
Practice.
It's an extra point.
Practice.
So what?
I'm not getting the real. You're, this is one of these things.
Okay, now I'm not doing it.
You're
humoring
me to kind of get me to change the subject. I'm worried you're not going to practice.
If there's one thing that I've learned from you, you keep saying practice, I'm not going to practice. Well, then I'm going to walk in blind with my left hand.
Then we'll lose.
For what?
And that'll be embarrassing.
Then we will lose. Then we
I don't want to lose. I want to win.
Ron's probably a ringer too. Ron was a ringer in softball.
Ron was
He's
good
probably
softball
a ringer
pitcher.
In.
Probably got a backspin on there.
Probably 100%.
I need you to practice. You going to practice?
No.
There you go. All right, good. Then it'll be your fault when we get knocked out by two old ladies.
Sounds good.
By the way, how bad would that be? You show up, there's two, 73-year-old ladies who play.
And they're just ringers.
It's Jenna.
Down
the
line
every
day.
Time.
And they just know exactly how to do it.
We're yelling at each other. They're sipping on tea.
I need to see the bracketing. I need to see how we're setting this whole thing up. I need to make sure that we at least get a couple of matches in. I don't want to be one and done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to last longer than any of the
other
shows.
We want the Charger regular season schedule.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I want to last longer than all of the other shows, and I absolutely, positively cannot be a one and done. That would be humiliating.
I have some ideas for our gear, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything we can share?
No. Let's, yeah.
Is it Andre Agassi
play,
acid
quiet.
Wash related?
No comment. No
you
comment.
You kind of have a little Agassi vibe. You could actually pull that
off.
He had
off. Great hair for a while. And
but
then
he had no hair.
Then he
and
let
you,
it go.
There's a little passing resemblance on Agassi.
That might be the greatest compliment I've ever got.
There
I
is.
Appreciate that. Thank
there
you
is.
So much.
You should see if Steffi Graf wants to go rally with you. See if Steph has an opportunity to go do it. I want to play this for you. This is Andrew Whitworth, who was on with Rich Eisen earlier this week, talking about Sean McVay and whether or not he's going to come back. I got two for you. I want to start with this one, saying that he'd be shocked if he's not in there coaching.
Man, it's just hard for me to imagine him not leading the rooms. I mean, one of the most impressive things about him when I met him when he took the job is his ability to capture a room and lead a group of people. I thought it was just so rare. I've been around some really special ones. When they talk, everyone listens. And Nick Saban being one of those guys that can just, you know, something about him, you immediately want to sign up to go wherever he is. And Kirby Smart as well. He was there when I was at LSU too. And they're both like that. And being around them and their success and now Sean, when I got to be around him, I told him that. I said, man, since Nick Saban, I really hadn't been around somebody like that. So I would be shocked to see him not leading a group of men playing this game that he loves so much.
That, to me, Al, is exactly – he said it better than I did, but that is exactly what I've been saying for the last few days. I just – Sean McVay was put on this earth to take a group of people, the most competitive, the most physically imposing, the most alpha – group of men that exists, NFL players, right?
Mm-hmm.
His purpose in life is to take those 50 or 60 guys and say, guys, we're going over there and here's how we're going to do it. And he, that's the juice in that dude's life. To just think that he's just going to Whitworth's point, like, I can't imagine him not doing that. Now, maybe he's at a point of like physical and mental exhaustion and he just needs to take a step back. But this idea that he's going to leave for an extended period of time, I'm not saying forever. Even Sean McVay said, I'm not saying forever. But I think he knows that once football starts again, and if he's not a part of it as a coach, not as a broad, but as a coach, I think that'll eat him up from the inside out. That's what he's here to do, and he's great at it.
So that makes me actually lean a little bit more towards he is going to leave the game for a second, because you're not wrong with everything that you said. And if there's anybody that knows – it's Whitworth, right? Like, there's, if anybody that knows.
I forgot he played for Saban at LSU.
Mm.
I forgot
and
that.
And Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
But I say that because sometimes you don't know until you leave something. And I don't disagree with you that Sean McVay is that. He was the youngest coach when he came into the NFL. He's still the youngest coach today. Youngest coach in the NFL.
6 years later.
And this is 6 years later, and all the success that he's had, this is the only. What was the quote? There was a quote here, and I think actually was it Whitworth on this one? Oh no, it wasn't Whitworth. It was somebody else. I gotta find who it was. Might have been Vermeil. You won too fast.
Mm.
That was one of the quotes that he had. That just kind of looking at his history, he won so fast that he didn't actually get a chance to taste what the real NFL was. That he had so much success right out the gate. And then to have a season like he had this year, and I don't think he would step away from the game because of this year, because of the results of this year. There was some conversation about it last season, and that was after him winning a Super Bowl. I agree with what Whitworth's saying. Of course, it would be shocking. But if he left for a year or 2 years, it would eat at him. Do you think we've had this conversation?
I think it would take place the
3 months.
Tops.
Okay.
I think 3 weeks.
But even we've had this conversation before. You're going to tell Sean McVay at this age, go into a booth and show up for the Giants-Vikings game and talk about that game for 3 hours and be completely okay with it and then walk away and wait for Miami and Buffalo the following week? I agree with you that that's not him. But maybe he does step away for a second. There's too much conversation and chatter about it that I think if he does step away, he'll probably fall right into what you just said. I got to get back in the league.
So I want to read you the quote. It's from Dick Vermeil. It's from the LA Times released this morning. It said, I only sat down and visited with Sean McVay one time. The only thing I can remember saying to him was, you won too fast, too soon. Every team I took over had been losing, especially the Eagles and the Rams. Anything you did, make a first down, and they applauded you. But when you start out fast, as Sean McVay did, it makes every year tougher. Even when you win it all, like last year, geez, what do you do to improve off what you did last year?
It's a lot. It's interesting, and what you're describing and what Andrew Whitworth, I think, is kind of sort of circling around is the idea of a hiatus. Listen, I'm not leaving. I just need time away from this. I want to be the coach of this team. I just can't do it next year. That maybe it is literally physical and mental exhaustion, because this brings us to the next Whitworth quote, which we'll have here in a little bit. We're going to talk with DeMarco as well coming up in just a little bit at 12:30. There's nothing that replaces that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. And look, this is a terrible comparison, but I think it's apt. The last time I competed at something, really, truly competed in an athletic setting,
yeah,
was in college. That was 30 years ago for me, and playing baseball at UCSB. Since that ended, you can go play golf with your buddies. You can go there. There's things you can gamble and you can do these things and play in tournaments. It's not even one millionth of the juice. Mm. Now multiply that to the NFL, and he's a young man.
I'm going to take one more thing. The Dick Vermeil, LA Times. He also said something in there that he had reached a point where it was the winning didn't feel.
Yeah.
The winning felt, at least I didn't lose, but the losses just took. And we've heard people, Jerry West used to talk about this, Dick Vermeil.
Yeah, that's common.
Sean McVay is probably in a similar situation where even the winning doesn't feel that good. The winning is actually, well, at least I don't have to feel what it was to lose.
Derek Carr is out in Las Vegas. He left a note and said, peace out. Where do the Raiders go from here? It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Luka in the house tonight, little crypto.com arena, little Luka and the Lakers and yeah. LeBron. Is LeBron going to play tonight? Is he back?
Yeah, I think he'll play.
All right.
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you and I, 5:30 pregame, tip-off will be at 7.
There you go.
I know you and I, by the way, Luka tonight, Embiid coming up on Sunday. So nice. A couple good matchups. I don't know where you are on like the whole MVP world, how close you pay attention to it, how much you like
basketball?
That stuff. Basketball, NFL, doesn't matter. I don't pay that close attention to it. So I'm looking just because it's Luka and Luka's part of the conversation. So Jokic right now is the favorite to win the MVP again. Can you give somebody the MVP 3 times in a row? And they've never competed for an NBA championship. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Jokic.
I understand the question.
But help me understand this. Yeah. I saw it earlier. There have been 3 players in the history of the NBA.
Can I guess? They've won 3 in a row?
To win 3 in a row.
Jordan.
No.
No?
Yeah. I know. That's a surprise.
Kareem?
Not Kareem either.
Bird?
Larry Bird's got 1.
Okay.
Who in that span of 3 years won 2 NBA championships.
Okay. Okay. Bird, there's 2 more?
2 more.
Are they relatively modern
players?
One's a
Celtic. It's an easy one when you think about it. Bill Russell.
Okay, yeah.
Who won 3
yeah.
NBA championships in the 3 years that he won MVP.
And
the last one is every stat you ever see is...
Oh, it's Chamberlain.
Wilt won 1 in the year that he won the championship.
That's going to be my next, because Michael's advice, when the question is who is one of the only, the answer is always Wilt Chamberlain. So in the modern NBA, it's Bird.
Yes. And that modern is 30, you know, whatever, how many years ago?
45, 50.
Yeah. So, the reason why I'm asking it is... I'm looking, and I was doing some prep, you know, for today, and I'm looking at Luka, and NBA.com always puts like their MVP tracker. And Jokic pretty much dominates the top, and his numbers are ridiculous. But can you win 3? Are there no other players in the league that are deserving of an MVP?
Of course not. I think it comes down to circumstance as much as it does to are you a great player or not, right? There needs to be, I hate this word, but it's apropos here. It's the narrative of it all. Sometimes you have to give it to this guy because you have to give it to this guy. Or you can't give it to this guy again, right? That when Giannis got his first, it's like, okay, it's his turn. He's finally gone to that, and then he won it again. The next year, it's like, yeah. It makes perfect sense. But then it's like, hey, let's mix it up and go to the next guy. If there's another viable candidate in that spot, then you give it to the next viable candidate. If there's not, or there's a bunch of guys that are kind of all the same, like Jokic, Giannis, Embiid,
yep.
Kevin Durant's been amazing yep. this year. Like Luka, there's a bunch of guys,
Tatum.
and none of them are like clearly on the best team. Like with Steph or KD in Golden State, it's like, well, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
If they're all just kind of lumped together, then you just go with. And I always
so
like
I kind
this.
Of thought I was like, okay, we share the. Now this is the year that Denver has the best record in the West.
They do,
at the
but
moment.
They're not like steamrolling everybody
no,
either. And I do think there's this too. And when it comes down to like tiebreaker kind of things, and I think this works in Giannis's favor. I think it works in Jokic's favor. If you took Jokic off the Nuggets, what are they? They're not probably not a 500 team, or just right around there. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Giannis. And if you're on a team like with Steph, for instance, yeah. it's okay. We've seen what it looks like when he's down for a little while. Sometimes they hang around, sometimes they don't. I think it's all of these things added together. And if you get just the right mix, but you're right.
If you took
Russell,
Luka out,
Chamberlain, Bird, Jokic, that mm-hmm. feels odd, but he's unbelievable.
He's
good.
Unbelievable. But three MVPs in a row, it's like. So there's no other players in the league that are deserving of the MVP
but
more
that,
than
see, that's
Jokic?
Kinda, you're kind of shaping that to sound like that.
But
there
three
are
in
other,
a row. Three yeah. in a row.
But is there a case to be made where Jokic, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Did Nash steal one that everybody thought should have gone to Kobe or Shaq?
Shaq.
Nash got
both.
One. Was it both?
I thought Nash was winning. I mean, I'd have to go back and look. I thought basically Shaq. Yeah, he
Nash
went back
got
to back.
Back to back. And there was one.
Shaq, I was like, he should get it every year, and it wasn't a conversation.
Yeah, there are some times where you're like, wait, hold on a second. Karl Malone over Michael Jordan? What the heck are we doing here? Come on, man. That doesn't feel like that's happened with either of the Jokic ones. It doesn't feel like it's like, come on, man. I know we got to mix it up occasionally.
Maybe but. For me, because it's if it falls onto a third one, yeah, you're just talking about how teams look. The Dallas Mavericks would win four games a year without Luka. Okay?
I mean, you're probably not
That's the
wrong.
Best way that I could put it.
I think you're right. I don't think he'll get three
Fun
in a row.
Fun to see Luka tonight, too.
Yeah. Look, there are some guys you got to see with your own two eyes. Giannis, first time I thought, like, never mind. Got it. Never mind. I completely understand now. Embiid's one of those guys. The mm-hmm. first time you see him come out of that tunnel, you're like, oh right. That even in a league with other superhumans, he's different. I want that dude right there.
Okay,
you know who was one of those guys for a period of time?
Who's that?
That just NBA players all across. Everybody's in great shape. Everybody's 6'9" and
yep.
just unbelievable. But he came out of the tunnel. You're like, oh my gosh, that dude is Blake Griffin was one of those guys. Just you? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's a highlight.
Look at that dude.
Perfect body.
So strong and
over
fast.
Kia Optimas.
All that stuff. But he was one of those guys that just looked different than even by NBA player standards.
Okay, so. Am I crazy?
Yes.
Okay. 41 games left.
Mm-hmm.
Can they go 24-17?
I got a question before I answer the question. What is their schedule kind of what it was in the first half?
Unfortunately, I think it's tough again.
It's tough?
Okay. Yeah, it's tough again.
24-17?
I'm just going to say that there was a stretch. Don't dismiss the 2-10. 2-10 adds. That's all part of the schedule. They went through a stretch. They went 17-11,
mm-hmm.
and then they played Denver in the last game without LeBron and AD. So mm-hmm. they're 17-12 over that stretch.
Okay.
Can they go 24-17 in the second half of the season? Expect AD to be back in the next, let's say, 2 weeks at the most. They still got, there's still question marks. The schedule's tough. There's still a lot of players that are in and out of the lineup. Bron is still doing what he's doing. Is 24-17 crazy or not crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I think it's unlikely.
Yeah.
I think it's unlikely because you just don't know what you're going to get from Anthony Davis. As good as they've been with AD down, it feels like it's a little bit of an outlier, right? And not only has AD been down, but Walker's been out, Reeves has been out. These are three important players, what they're
yep.
doing, and they've won games anyway. That's probably not going to continue. You probably can't have three of your rotation players out and continue to win a lot more than you lose. I think it's one of those weird statistical anomaly kind of situations. Mm-hmm. But if AD comes back and he's really good again, it's not impossible. I wouldn't bet on it.
So, but that's probably the best answer Al, who's going to be playing? I don't know who's in. Anthony Davis will have missed a quarter of the season by the time he comes back.
And what do you get when he comes back?
If they go 22-19, three games over 500 in the final,
kind of the
41
opposite
games.
You're right, the exact opposite.
You're 41-41, which is not that's not a emboldened. You know, you're not putting your chest out and saying, "Watch out for the Lakers at 41-41." But you're probably in, and then you get that opportunity.
It's funny you say you don't have your chest out with that. No, you don't. But you might after you start 2-10, right? Was it 2-10 or 2-12?
2-10.
2-10. So you're 8 games under 500 through 12 games, and you're thinking, okay, this is not good. And if you can set at the end of the line, we're going to be a break-even team, because you've got to be pretty good the rest of the way. I'm not saying this. I don't even like saying it out loud because I believe in the gods and karma and all that stuff. It just feels like you can't. What they've been doing feels unsustainable. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis was great. He got hurt. I don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. They're winning games without three of their six best guys.
No, they're shocking people every night. And by the way, I will say this. If they do continue it, if just some shape, way, or form, they're still, no, this is kind of who we are. We gut out wins. We play hard-nosed basketball. LeBron's going to continue doing what he's doing. Then when AD does come back, that is a team that I think a lot of people wouldn't want to play.
If they're playing kind of sort of like they've played for the last month or so at the end of the season, you don't want to play that team. Mm-hmm. That's different. I think that may be if as a Laker fan, as somebody that's trying to paint an optimistic picture, best case scenario kind of situation, you want them the way that they've played for the last month, you want that type of play at the end of the line. Because they're winning more than they're losing. They're in just about every single game.
Yeah.
LeBron's playing at an otherworldly level, and you're getting production out of Thomas Bryant. You're getting production out of Schroeder. You're getting production out of Russell Westbrook. That you're going to need those guys to do it, too. LeBron and AD are going to be what they're going to be. That second-tier group of guys, they need to be like they've been for a month, and I just don't know if they can be.
Last thing I got on the Western Conference, Lakers are one game behind the Thunder for number 13, and they're two games behind the Clippers for number 6. Someone explain to me that.
Yeah, it's easy. I'm not. There are no great teams. Yeah. There are a bunch of average ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think in the Western Conference, how many genuinely bad teams are there? Two or three?
The Spurs and the Rockets are the two bad teams.
They're bad. Yeah. Everyone else, even like the Lakers and OKC and Minnesota,
they can
the Jazz.
Win or lose any
right.
night.
Yeah, they're all right. Yeah. They don't stink. It's not like they're a 12, 15-win team. That's what it means. And there also isn't a team out there that's going to win 60. That's the other thing that it means.
If the playoffs started today, Sacramento would have a first-round home court.
Give me that.
They would play. So they'd play the 8, and if it stayed as it is right now, they'd have the Warriors in the first round.
No, they couldn't play the 8. They'd have to be the 1 to play the 8.
Oh, that's right. They're going 4-5.
Yeah.
I went and looked at the play-in tournament. Yeah. They get Dallas in the first round. That's
Taylor,
not,
what do you
hey,
think? You like your chances?
I'll take it. I just want the playoffs. That's
listen,
all I want.
Luka would probably slice and dice because that's what he does, and he beat the Suns last year in 7 games with all their guys. He took the Clippers to 7 games, but that's also that's not crazy.
No, it's not. No,
Dallas, you know.
Look, that they're in it, Slee. That the Lakers are in the conversation of will they? They're in the conversation to not even have to be in the play-in. They could skip it.
They changed the playoff format. 4 plays 8.
Like, wait, no, that can't be right.
They
can't
1 plays 13.
I'm going to have to check your math on that. DeMarco Farr joins us next, getting us ready for the weekend of playoff football. Talk a little Sean McVay as well. It's all straight ahead. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, Rams obviously are not going to be playing on Wild Card Weekend. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit, the matchups. But the Rams.
Do you even know what to do with yourself this weekend?
I watch a lot of football, only I don't have to go into work. I just get to sit back and watch
Very
quite a
nice.
Bit. Cannot wait. Going to have a few. Going to maybe have a little burger on the grill. It's going to be a good weekend. DeMarco would be into that. He joins us right now, the Super Bowl champ, DeMarco Farr. How are you feeling this morning, DeMarco?
Do almost anything that you want me to do, but I can't go for that.
So what are you going to do with your weekend?
Where's my backup singer? Come on.
DeMarco, you don't need a backup singer.
Are you Hall or Oates?
More Oates than Hall, I guess.
I was going to say both.
Yeah, I heard they don't like to be called Hall & Oates. You have to call them Daryl Hall and John Oates.
I'm going to stick with Hall & Oates. They can ask whatever they want. I'm going Hall & Oates.
Look, his mama called him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
I don't know which one's which. I just know that one of them looks like former Dodger second baseman Davey Lopes, and that he's lucky I'm not calling him Hall and Lopes. That's Oates?
That's Oates.
Good. No doubt. Hall and Lopes. I'm going,
yep,
I'm
the
going
long
with that.
Hair and the porn stash. Absolutely.
All right, DeMarco, let's start right here. The Sean McVay news, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise. Did it catch you by surprise?
A little bit, man. I mean, Sunday morning. I'm sitting in Seattle, you know, getting ready to leave, heading to Lumen, and I get a bunch of text messages from my family. You know, they like to talk trash, and some teammates. Your coach is gone. Your coach is leaving. You know, all this stuff. I'm reading this report. The only thing I put out was, that's all smoke. You know, he's definitely coming back. And then as we go on throughout the day, and I'm seeing people, coaches, media types, and we're talking about Sean McVay, and they're telling me he's gone. And I'm like, there's no way this guy's leaving. And they're looking at me like I got three heads. Like, are you insane? Like, he's definitely gone. What are you talking about? He's 36. TV's about to dump a bunch of money on top of his head. By the time he wants to come back and coach, he can have his pick of football teams. Why wouldn't you leave? So by the end of that game versus the Seahawks, I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, if I'm him, I'm probably going to take some time off, too, and go to TV. Why not?
DeMarco, let's say that happens. Hypothetically, Sean McVay decides that he's going to go make that money, and however long he wants to do that on TV, there's always going to be a job left for him in the NFL. What would be the next step for the Rams from there?
You know, the rumor has it. It's only rumor, and it would make sense because, you know, in the locker room, pregame, postgame, what have you, seeing how the guys react to certain coaches, if you wanted to turn it over to Raheem Morris, that would not surprise me, and I think that would be fantastic. Because think about it. This year has been rough, especially on the offensive side of the football. So the only thing that's kept you in it has been defense. And listening to him motivate a guy like Jalen Ramsey, motivate a guy like Bobby Wagner, motivate a guy like Aaron Donald. Special. When you can coach those guys like you coach the end man on the roster, the last guy on your roster, has been fantastic. So I've had this feeling for a long time. Raheem Morris deserves his own post. So if Sean McVay does step away, your head coach is right there.
DeMarco Farr joining
us. Your next head coach is right there. Yeah.
Excuse me, DeMarco. So let's say that it's not Sean McVay. Okay, maybe it's Raheem Morris, maybe it's somebody else, but it's not McVay. Does it change the way that Les Snead, that the organization approaches the next few seasons? In other words, if McVay decides to come back and, hey, let's hope we get healthy. Let's kind of, we'll nibble around the edges, but Aaron Donald's back, Jalen Ramsey's back, Bobby Wagner's back, Matthew Stafford's back. That's if McVay is here. If they go in a different direction, does it speed up maybe the alternate option, which is instead of F them picks, we're going to collect picks. We're going to trade some veteran star players to try to get some assets. Do you go in a different direction if McVay's not there?
Wow. Well, look, I mean, if you're an outside guy, and I know that I think the name of the offseason is Sean Payton. Is that fair?
Sure.
He's the guy that everybody's watching. So if everybody threw their pitch out, well, how do the Rams look right now as far as the future? You've got an aging quarterback that's making a lot of money. You don't have a lot of draft capital. You got a lot of money being spent in about three or four guys. So how attractive is this gig outside of the stadium and being in Los Angeles? So if you're Sean Payton, you may choose to go in a different direction. So hiring from within might be the best possible option for the team, because if you have to go with Matthew Stafford again, you're going to have to tailor the offense to what he does best. Well, you're already fixed for that now if you can keep them healthy. As a matter of fact, if they all stayed healthy, McVay, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. We'd probably be getting ready for Wild Card Weekend. So I think as long as you have Matthew Stafford as your quarterback, and he already said he's coming back, I think there's only so many things you can do. So I think that might limit your choices of who will be here as a head coach.
All right, DeMarco, enough of this lottery talk and teams that are not in the playoffs. We got to talk about the postseason here real quick. Okay? My Jaguars are taking on the Chargers this weekend. Hey, of all the games that are out there, There are some games where the spread is just ridiculous. There's three games that are divisional matchups, right? 49ers, Seahawks, Miami playing the Bills. What of the games, the six games this weekend, is one that stands out to you that is a must-watch for you? Let's put it that way.
Oh, Seahawks 49ers, man. That's going to be an old-fashioned slobber knocker because of the way Pete Carroll coaches. He may not have the horses or the roster that San Francisco does, but he wants to play the way San Francisco is playing. And San Francisco is loaded. They're physical. I love watching Bosa play football. He's tremendous. So that matchup has got me. Look, man, I mean, if the Chargers play the way they did against the Rams in SoFi, they got a lot of weapons. Mike Williams is healthy. No? Yes?
Yes. I think he is. Yeah. Yeah. He was. I mean, he had to play in that game against Denver that meant nothing to potentially get an injury that could affect him in the playoffs. But other than that.
Yeah, he didn't have to play. I don't know why they played him, but that's just the way it went. But I'm looking at Keenan Allen. I'm looking at him. Gerald Everett, who I think is a fantastic matchup nightmare, depending on who you have or who you're facing. And then they have another giraffe at tight end that's like 6'8". And then Austin Eckler, if he can get that ground game going like he did at SoFi, they're a tough out. So I got respect for Jacksonville. I got respect for Trevor Lawrence. He would be on my short list of quarterbacks I'd love to start a franchise with. Mm. But if the Chargers can hold that magic and not get in their own way, they're going to be a tough out for anybody in the AFC.
DeMarco Farr joining us, getting us ready for Wild Card Weekend. Bread and butter or chips and salsa?
Chips and salsa. Mm. Hands down.
Okay, how do you want the chips and salsa right when you sit down, or you want it closer to where your meal's coming so you don't eat three baskets of chips and salsa?
Right when I sit down. I'll be in control of me, thank you. Yeah, just put that stuff down right in front of me. Absolutely. Don't make me wait now. Yeah,
no, that's the...
Yeah.
I almost want it to be in like a booth next to me that I could just go grab a few and sit down.
DeMar, you and I are similar.
Absolutely done that. I've snagged somebody's chips before, in front of them.
You and I are similar because I said the same thing to Al. I said, no, I want the chips and salsa to hit the table when my butt hits the seat. I want those two things to happen at the same time. But just very quickly, let me try to change your mind on something. Really good warm bread with exquisite French butter. Are you sure you made the right decision?
Oh, no. If I'm at that spot, look, I'm going to the spot for the bread sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, no. If it's good bread, good butter, that, you know, with a good olive oil with the garlic in it, oh, my God, and they do it right and they serve it up, oh, yeah. Okay, but let me say, man, I walked through the door thinking I'm going to give you 25%. Now, it's only going to go backwards. You know what I mean? As long as I have to wait, no doubt.
Well, I love how he walked into a steakhouse saying, I'm here for the bread. He wants the bread or the butter.
When he was so quick to go chips and salsa, I'm like, you and I are usually in kind of, because I went bread and butter. I just wanted to make sure that you had the full scope of the question. Yeah. I wanted to make sure that you understood.
Oh, yeah. There's some joints that have the great, look, what's that place called? Is it Lucille's? They have these biscuits, the barbecue joints.
Oh, yeah. Lucille's, I think it's called Lucille's Barbecue. Yeah.
That's a good spot. All right.
They throw the biscuits out with that apple butter. Oh, forget it.
We got honey on the table, too, right?
Oh, see? There you go. I'm hungry again. See?
Just to make sure we have all the proper condiments along the way. All right, you said that you're looking to that San Francisco-Seattle game, which maybe kind of gives me my answer, because I was going to ask you, am I totally out of my mind that I think Brock Purdy can win the Super Bowl? Because this is a guy that was Mr. Irrelevant last year that had not played really any meaningful football at all until he got thrust into the starting lineup. He hasn't lost a game.
He has weapons everywhere.
He's got a great team. You mentioned that great defense. Is it a pipe dream that Purdy could take them all the way to the Super Bowl, or is it realistic?
Wow. Might be hard. He can get them close. I mean, you're going to bump into the Cowboys or the Buccaneers at some point. Versus Giants and Vikings, sure, I think D-line travels, but at some point you're going to bump up against either the Cowboys or Tom Brady and you got issues. But look, going into next year, I think everybody in the NFC better take notice. This is their guy. This is their quarterback. He looks fantastic.
DeMarco, final one for me here, buddy. Let's kind of get a prediction here before the playoffs even start. You have to choose who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Give me an AFC team. Give me an NFC team.
Man, I'll take the Bills. I said the Bills to start the year, and I'm not giving up on that, especially now. I told you, Travis and Flea, I told you it was going to turn. And sure enough, what did that team do? They absolutely came out playing like gangbusters. So I think they're on a mission. Not only are they good, I think they're on a mission now. So I'll take Buffalo in the AFC, no doubt. NFC, you know, San Fran was on the doorstep, and I see where you're going with this. But let me see what happens with the Cowboys and the Buccaneers first. But San Fran has an axe to grind. They were right there last year and couldn't get it done, and here they are again. So that window is slowly closing. So they may know that. I'll say either Cowboys, Bucks, and outside shot San Francisco.
No Philly pick there, huh?
Yeah,
no
Philly. It's interesting, and it's just this is kind of how it goes so quickly.
Isn't Hurts hurt?
Well, he played the week 18, but he didn't look great. I mean, so he gets another week. He gets another 2 weeks really to heal before he plays again. Very quickly, DeMarco, who's the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders next season?
Man, great question. You know what? Why did they dump Carr? I still don't get this. Because think of the free agent market, right? I mean, you're not going to go with a rookie. So you're thinking free agent. Well, which free agent, guy that's going to be on the market outside of Aaron Rodgers, that's a pipe dream.
Well,
which guy is actually head and shoulders above above Carr right now?
Isn't that the idea, though, that it is it's a moonshot, that it's a Rodgers, it's a Brady. Look, I'll throw it out there. It's a Stafford. It's one of those guys that has some pelts on the wall in the league, and you have to give up a king's ransom to bring one of those guys in. But, hey, we think we got all the pieces but the quarterback, not unlike the Rams did a couple of years ago. Let's move heaven and earth to go see if we can get a Brady or a Rodgers.
Okay, well, then look at the Rams' 2022 season and see if you really want to do that.
Yeah, well, they'll just leave that part out. When you make the pitch, you just say, yeah, we just don't look over here, look over there.
Let's actually take that off the podcast, too.
If I can't get Rodgers, then I'm rebuilding. If I can't get Aaron Rodgers, then I'm going to rebuild. I think Brady might be just – he might have hit too old at this point to do that.
DeMarco Farr on the sidelines for every Rams game. He's a Super Bowl champ, and he comes on the Travis Lee Show every Thursday. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Soon.
You got it, guys. Chips and salsa.
Chips and salsa is a fine answer. I'm not sometimes, you know, I get the look on my face. And I'm like, what, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's not wrong. It's a matter of, but I felt like DeMarco didn't fully appreciate the bread and butter options available to him in this particular scenario.
There are, I'm with you on this one. I lean towards bread.
What if you get that sourdough loaf and it's wrapped in that napkin and it's piping hot, and then you take a big scoop of that butter and just whoop. I mean, who says no?
I got it. Like, that's the timing of it all. I'm gonna eat 58% of it.
Right. 58. I mean, we're gonna say they put the first basket down. Hey, look, thank you.
I try to be patient on it.
I'd like just before you even just
they bring, charge you for the next basket. Some of these are like that's four extra dollars. You know that, right?
I'm like, I'm good. Yeah, if they're charging for bread, you're in the wrong spot.
I'm good.
Just fine. Bring the baker out. I'd like to talk to him. I got some questions.
Olive Garden doesn't charge. That's what I'll tell him.
The Dump coming up next. A little super crosstalk as well. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So a little bit of sad news to start the Dump here, Slee. And I am curious who this guy was for you. And I really didn't even think of it like this until I saw his name this morning. And talking about legendary USC tailback Charles White, who won the Heisman Trophy in 1979. He died yesterday at the age of 64. I grew up in a family where both of my grandparents on my mom's side are USC alum. My grandfather on that side worked at USC, was a professor at USC, covered the football team, was friends with John McKay. Like they were SC people. And so SC was on all the time in my house. The very first non-Dodger sports memory I have is of Charles White. I remember watching Charles, and when Charles White was at his peak at SC, I was 8 years old. Okay, but I remember watching Charles White just destroy people at SC. He was a back-to-back Rose Bowl MVP. He was a terrific player. His NFL career didn't work out quite like you thought. But do you remember who, like, when you first start remembering sports memories, who was at the top of that memory?
So mine is going to be obviously from a Laker. It was Magic for me. Everything was Magic, and I wasn't even seeing Magic in the Showtime era. It was really kind of right after the Showtime era ended. It was kind of this new page for Lakers basketball. I mean, Worthy's still there and everything else.
Yeah.
Only 64 years old, huh?
Yeah. He had health trouble. And yeah, he had, it's unfortunate. You know, 64 is very young. But I, it was just one of those things. Like, gosh, you know what?
That's the guy.
I don't
that...
really remember anything. I remember Dodger stuff because that was my thing. And baseball cards, like we've talked about all day today. But I vividly remember watching Charles White on TV back in the late 70s and the early 80s when he won the Heisman Trophy. Just sad to see that he's gone, but that's just the memory that it brought up. Aaron Donald was named to the inaugural NFLPA Players All-Pro Team. So there's the All-Pro Team that we've had forever and ever and ever. Aaron Donald did not make that All-Pro Team. He did make this one, the NFL Players. So the players picked this list of All-Pro, and AD, of course, was on it.
If the players are picking, there's never going to be a time that Aaron Donald is not part of that mix.
They're in a weird spot, man. Aaron Donald is still a great player.
Yep.
And he already kind of had dipped his toe in the retirement water. It just feels like everything's getting ready to change. That when McVay got ready to make his announcement, it just feels like that is the beginning of let's really kind of reevaluate this whole
thing. Well, it's interesting because after they won the Super Bowl, remember we're at the parade and they were was it McVay trying to tell Aaron Donald, run it back. But there was kind of a weird vibe because there was no guarantee or lock that everybody's coming back. Everybody came back. And then this is the season that you had. Yeah. And I'm not telling you that these guys are probably sitting back regretting coming back and doing what they did. It happens. It's part of football. But it is an interesting transition for them.
How about Andrew Whitworth? He's like, you know what? Thanks, but I'm good. I'm going to go do some TV. I'm walking out of here as a Super Bowl
His situation
champion.
Obviously different.
Sure.
But yeah.
Sure. He'd been in the league for 400 years and had done everything there is to do. But AD's kind of in the – not nearly as
how old
experienced.
Is he?
Whitworth?
No. How old is Aaron Donald?
I'd have to look. My guess is 30. 30.
Yeah.
He's 31.
Yeah, 31. Yeah. Okay. So he's still got – and he's still so good along the way. So congratulations to him on that one. Happy birthday, 59 years old, Jeff Bezos. That's not your guy. You're a Musk guy. You're not a Bezos guy.
Do you think he has a coffin invitation as well to like all his friends?
For his 60th?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up. Net worth. What do you think his net worth is now?
I'm bad at this. 50 billion.
Okay. That's throwing a number
125
out.
Billion.
Taylor, you got something over there? That's throwing a number out.
500.
113 billion.
Ooh,
that's
Emily
where he's at
close.
Right now.
Yeah, a little, but my Price is Right rules.
Price is
over.
Right, you're out. I win, but that seems like enough.
My favorite is when they say, I guess Elon has lost just billions of dollars recently, and he's still worth 143. But I love those articles. That's like the biggest loss in the history of one individual, but he's still worth 143.
Yeah, it seems like he's doing
like
it
okay.
Right. He'll be. He's not thinking of I better clip that coupon out of the penny saver when I head down to the grocery store.
I better downsize my apartment.
Get a second job.
Okay, I want you all to remember this. Okay, what I'm about to say next, because I guarantee you, at some point between now and the end of next baseball season, you know, baseball's in real trouble. Baseball, you know, everybody's getting old. Nobody watches it on TV. Nobody's going to the ballpark.
Telling you, UCLA. Telling you.
According to Forbes, Major League Baseball set a new record for league revenue during the 2022 season, earning over $10.8 billion. Baseball's fine. Can we stop with that? Can we stop with it? Baseball's in
Damn.
Trouble. No, it's not. It's not. So you went to Dodger games this year. I went to Dodger games, Padre games. The ballpark has people in it. They're excited to watch baseball. 10.8 billion.
Well, I do wish that, I mean, first, you got 162 games. So I think just right out the gate, all those TV deals, everything. I do wish they had less games. If I could have one request for baseball, can you, is 140 enough? Can
sure,
we get 140 and call it a day?
It will never, ever happen.
No. They only go this way.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. The AFC Championship game, the potential neutral site, we got it right, Slee. It's going to be in Atlanta. If, in fact, the Bills and Chiefs play in the AFC Championship game in Atlanta, that feels about right.
Yeah, listen, the circumstance to have to do what they had to do, no, it wasn't perfect. Cincinnati was upset because it was going to come down to a coin flip if they lost that game this past weekend. It didn't come down to that. You're not going to be able to please everybody. This sounds like the best option of whatever other option
people
was out
there. People are annoyed that it's not going to be outdoors. That it's not going to get into the cold because both these teams could be in the cold.
If it was outdoors and it was in the cold, people would be annoyed that it's outdoors in the cold. But there's always going to be people annoyed.
The cold thing would be more interesting to me if one of these teams were a cold weather team and one of them were not. Mm-hmm. Right? If this were sure. Buffalo and San Diego or L.A., that it would be one thing.
San Diego.
But it's Buffalo and Buffalo's obviously colder than Kansas City, but they're both cold weather places. Mm-hmm. I don't think it makes that big of a difference along the way. Let's see here. The Dodgers announced their unconditional release of Trevor Bauer today. He is now free to sign with any team. Major league minimum, just a little over $700,000. Somebody going to take him? Okay, I really think they are.
I was going to say, when you first heard the news that he's gone from the Dodgers, at that moment you're like, somebody's taking him out. He's too good of a pitcher. Somebody's dead. Yeah. Anything change over that span?
No. The only wild card in this, the only reason I think there's the I'll carve out 1% to say nobody takes him, is that he refuses to admit any sort of responsibility in how bad of a situation that was. Not that he committed a crime, because according to the DA, he wasn't charged with a crime, but just, if he just did one teeny tiny, hey, you know what? I believe I was falsely accused in this situation, but I've made some mistakes in my life, and I'm going to try really hard to reduce the amount of mistakes I make moving forward. There'd be a line of people to sign him. That's all it does. He's not the type
of guy that
wants
to do that. Problem
is,
I don't know if he's going to do what you just said.
I don't think he is. Mm-hmm. Now, so that takes, instead of having 29 teams that may take a look at it, it probably takes it down to a handful.
Yeah.
The Angels, tomorrow, the Angels say, you know what, we're taking Trevor Bauer for $720,000. What's your response?
If you're the Angels?
No, you. If they made, your reaction to the Angels signing Trevor Bauer would be what?
I think there'd be, you know, obviously some surprise in the beginning. I think the initial couple of weeks, and then you get to spring training, and then you get to the regular season.
Then
eventually it would quiet down and die down.
A day or two. Tops.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it would resurface.
Pop up again occasionally, but I think it would be one of those, oh, that's kind of weird. Okay, whatever. He's going to pitch for somebody next year for sure. He's available. $720,000 seems like a very good deal for a guy that's that good of a pitcher if he'd just only say, you know what, I'll try to do a little better moving forward. It's time for a little Supercross talk. All right, so you're going to ask him. You're going to ask me what I thought he was going to do. Al.
Yeah.
So we've been having this little
debate.
Such a simple question, but a great question.
Okay. What is it?
You can get one or the other. You can have both. Chips and salsa or bread and butter?
Chips and sauce. Chips and salsa.
No question. No.
I thought he was going chips and salsa.
Chips and salsa. Yeah. John? Bring that to the table. By the way, I heard you. Bring it to the table. Have it there when I'm sitting down. Ooh. Wait for my food while I'm scarfing down.
Are you pretty good at, hey, I'm going to take my, I'm not going to eat too much. I don't want to ruin my meal. I'm not good at that.
No, I'm a meal ruiner.
Me too. I'm a professional meal ruiner. Still eat my entire meal.
Nothing
and feel
but
like
ruination when I go to eat.
Oh, chips and sauce is easy.
Really?
Yeah, bread and butter is just, you know, okay.
Really good bread with that really rich,
how many places have really good bread?
Not a lot, but when it's done
when they
correctly,
got
when you get that little
it's
ramekin
tough to
of
screw
ice
chips
cold
and
butter,
salsa.
It's tough to screw.
But I know what
French
you're talking
bread.
About, the butter when it's whipped and then it's like swirled and
I love the, wasn't it
sourdough bread?
Wasn't it Michael that was telling Billy Mack that he shouldn't use his hands for the bread?
Well, Michael doesn't want anybody to use their hands for anything. He's a germaphobe.
He wants to bow.
So what do you do when you have the whole loaf there?
Right.
Michael would not eat it.
That's I reach in and grab it.
Tear a piece
off. You have no choice but to if it's like one of those loaves with partial slices in it.
Would do that. If you did that in front of Michael, he would just pass on the bread.
Pass.
More for me. I'm going to touch everything we see in front
1992, 1993, Topps basketball cards.
Now, where did you get this box?
So yesterday, I'm in El Cajon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm at my parents' house.
Is that why you were doing the show remotely?
Exactly.
Were down south?
So I was down there.
This is 92, 93. There 92, could be valuable 93. Cards
okay.
here.
So I'm trying to figure out what I'm hoping for. Shaq's rookie card, probably, ooh. I guess, right?
That's the prize in the set. But it's not in this box because it's edition one and edition two. This is not the proper edition.
So wait a minute. So Jordan is probably the guy you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Carlo opened, got two Jordans right out the gate one of his packs. Two Jordans right there.
In one
pack?
What are
they worth?
Not much.
Did you look them up?
Oh, you did?
Okay,
look
we looked up. So this box. Right.
You go to like Beckett's or something like that.
I'm guessing Billy Owens from the Warriors is not worth much.
I don't think so.
What about Manute Bol?
Hey, I got Rodman.
See that bowl.
Yeah, Manute Bol.
Rodman.
Rodman's a good card.
Rodman, there's been a lot of Rodmans.
Yeah.
I've gotten Magic Johnson in his comeback year.
Yeah, okay. We've got that.
Dominique Wilkins.
Gotten
that's a good one.
Hall of Famer.
Tom Tolbert. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, give me that Tolbert.
Charles
Tolbert.
Barkley.
John Starks.
No, we have not.
Sam Bowie.
Poor Sam.
Playing for the Nets.
Yeah, I got a Sam Bowie also.
Poor Sam.
Mark Aguirre.
Not bad.
Decent. I got Mark Aguirre also.
All right.
What are we at the same time?
Our third Jordan.
There's another Jordan.
Dikembe Mutombo?
The Jordan, does it have gold lettering
no.
or is it regular?
I've got a Barkley with gold lettering.
And, oh, do you?
Yeah.
This would be the gold one, right?
Yeah.
That's
so,
the gold one, the Scottie Pippen.
Taylor, look this one up. Look up the Barkley. Oh, you have Oakley, not Barkley.
That's Charles Oakley. Oh,
yeah,
no.
Worthless.
Forget that.
In the spokes of your bike.
There you go.
You can tear that one up.
I may. So, supposedly, this box was worth about $150, $160 on eBay, unopened.
Yeah.
And then we opened it, and I don't think we have.
No, it's not. Anything, you know, I've got boxes and boxes of baseball cards at home.
From when you were
like
a kid?
Unopened, upper
Sam
deck
Sam Perkins
sets.
Laker card.
Yes.
From as when you were a kid or as like a younger
adult? Younger, yeah. Like I used to buy, I remember there was a brief time there where it was like owning a stock.
Oh, sure.
Right? So I got 500 Frank Thomas.
All-star.
500 Frank Thomas rookie cards, the Leaf, which is the valuable one.
Exactly.
But I also bought 500 Ron Gant cards that turned out to be completely not valuable
at
all.
Do you know who my Ron Gant was?
No.
Kevin Moss.
Kevin Moss!
Remember
yeah,
Kevin Moss?
Sure.
Like, I was going to retire at 25 on Kevin Moss rookie cards.
Yep.
Didn't work out. Like
didn't
that.
Work out.
Were you
so
what,
ever,
Slee,
were
what
you
did
you
open them?
What did you pay for the box?
I have no idea.
Well, didn't you get them from your dad's store?
Yeah, I think so.
And they sell for $150? The box?
The box.
So I guess before
you
I opened it,
just gave it to
it,
you
it,
for a bit?
So
just a bit. Slee was dad. This is all about
here,
the
do
bits.
This for a bit.
No, here's what's funny. This has been sitting in my closet at my parents' house
for years?
Since the 90s.
Oh, okay.
So that thing has just been sitting there. I actually didn't even know I had an unopened box. When I found it yesterday and I showed it to you, you're like, bring it in, let's open it. I'm like, well, if I don't open it, when the hell am I going to open it? Like,
so,
I don't
that's
care.
The question. So I've got all these cards, and some of them are really good. Like I've got Steve Carlton rookie card and Tom Seaver rookie
those
card.
Those are valuable.
I got a couple of Ricky Hendersons.
Less valuable.
Didn't they all go up during COVID because people were home?
They were
home,
but anything made after like 1987 is basically worthless.
See, I'd like somebody to come in. Yeah, I've heard that too. I'd like somebody to come in and say, just inventory them and say, oh yeah, you got this much. I'll buy this.
I did that during COVID.
Did you?
I did. I literally took everything because I was super into it. Put everything in my garage on these giant like banquet tables and put an ad out and said, hey, anybody that wants this and willing to buy, come on by and take whatever you not
so
take,
it was like a garage sale for baseball cards.
I had a couple guys come by and they're like, they take a quick look, 80-90% of it worthless, and then they'd go through and pick out some individual ones in the other stuff.
Yeah
and I kept a few. John, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at this Manute Bol card. On the back it says he's 7'6", 225 pounds.
Oof. Yeah,
okay. You've been covering the league for how long?
30 years.
Okay, 30 years. Is there anybody that was just like, oh my gosh, like just from a pure physical standpoint, like Bol at 7'6", that just even by NBA standards, like, oh my gosh, look at how enormous or different he looks than everyone else?
I was a sideline reporter when Yao Ming came into the league. Mm. And so I timed it. I was sitting in the tunnel and I timed it with our photographer that I would walk in with Yao, just like walking side by side so you could see
the scope and the size. And,
just how big he is.
And you're what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, and he is a legit 7'5".
Oh, gosh.
And he made me look like Billy Barty. Do people know who Billy Barty is?
Yeah.
I think he was in Wizard of Oz.
Or Vern Troyer would be a more modern day.
Yeah.
And John, he wasn't skinny either.
Yeah, and he was just... he made Shaq look short.
Right.
That's the guy that pops
in. He was probably 1.5 Ireland's tall.
Yeah. He looked like I went up to his belly button.
Wow.
Maybe.
So, Yao was playing for the Rockets when I lived in Houston. And so I would, you know, go cover some games occasionally and go into the locker room after. Yao's height obviously was the thing that kind of jumped out at you. But the thing, when you said Yao, the first thing that popped into my head was the size of his head.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make any sense. It's the size of a beach ball, only it's proportional to the rest of his body.
Yeah, that's
you
crazy.
Look at those guys, and a person that's 7'5" or whatever he was, the head is going to be proportional to that. It does. It looked cartoonishly
there was
weird.
An ad for Apple MacBook where Muggsy Bogues and Yao Ming
I remember this
were both family. On the same flight.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in their That's seats, awesome. And Yao takes out a very small MacBook and sits it down, and Muggsy takes out the biggest MacBook, sits it down, and was like, no matter what your size, we've got a MacBook for you. And the computer was almost as big as Muggsy, the one he was using, and Yao's looked like he could hold it in the palm of his hand.
Those guys are just totally from another planet.
And I know it's not that size, but it's LeBron, too. LeBron is
a huge physical presence.
He's a tank, but he moves as if when Karl Malone was in the league, you can't say, hey, Karl Malone's going to move like LeBron.
No.
That's LeBron James.
Well, there was a period of time where, the answer to the question for most of it was either Russell Westbrook or John Wall as far as fastest guy in end. LeBron was somewhere on the short list for a long – and LeBron's got, 60 pounds on those guys?
Yeah. And, LeBron is the best open court player in the history of the NBA. I mean, he literally, if there's four guys between him and the basket – it doesn't matter. He just keeps going. Westbrook's fast. Ish Smith is really fast. He's been on, bunch of different teams. Yeah, we were talking about De'Aaron Fox last week. We were in Sacramento. That if he's not now the fastest, he's close. But nobody has the combination of speed and power that LeBron does. There's never been anybody that.
What about Giannis?
No, because Giannis takes these long, lanky strides. So this is what I would compare it to. Giannis is Jerry Rice. He's not getting hit. He's got like elusive. LeBron is basically Earl Campbell.
Taking the contact.
Yeah,
right.
He's running right through you. Giannis probably takes the biggest strides of anyone in the NBA, but LeBron just gets the ball and takes off and you can't start. And by the way, at age 38, no one's ever put up numbers like this.
No,
not Jordan, not Kareem, not Kobe. Nobody.
It's hard to quantify. Right? Because when something has never happened before, you can't say, it reminds me of this thing that I've seen. No one has been in their 20th season and been, with a reasonable debate, one of the best players in the league. It's never happened before.
No. I was doing homework. LeBron was named the NBA Western Conference Player of the Week. Mm-hmm. And he had a 12-game stretch where he was averaging 38 points and 9 rebounds and 9 assists. And you would have to go back to Karl Malone to find a guy who over a 10-game stretch at this age put up numbers even remotely close to this. And Karl Malone averaged, when he was 38, averaged 23 points a game. LeBron was averaging 38, like 15 more. I mean, that's why I encourage people, if you have an opportunity to see LeBron play. Like, I made my wife, when we got married, I made her go see Jordan in person. I made her go see Gretzky in person. I said, I want you to be able to say, if I get hit by a bus, that you saw these guys play in person, because these are going to be people that are going to be talked about for 100 years. LeBron's in that group.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So
if you get a chance to go see LeBron play before he retires, you should do it.
That's the question I want to get. So this is his fifth year as a Laker.
Fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Okay, fourth year as a Laker. When he came, I think everybody thought, hey, we're going to get two really good years, and then we'll see what happens after.
Right.
He's obviously in his fourth year, and he's doing what you just described. He's closing in on 40, but the production has not dipped really.
No.
The eye test, it's a little different. That's a little bit different. But what is a reasonable amount of time before you would say, is it another 2 years at this level? Is it three? Or is it literally... There is no comparison. I have no idea. Could he be playing like this when he's 40, 41, 42?
You know what? He may be slightly past the top of the mountain, but he's not very far past the peak. I mean, he has had a long plateau of playing at this level. And John, you would say he's not quite at peak, but he's a little bit past.
Yeah, but you said it right. Not much.
Not much. It's
Kareem,
a plateau.
When he was, I just looked it up. Kareem, when he was 41,
that's his final year.
Yeah, averaged 10. When he was 40, they won the title that year, 87-88. He averaged 14 points a game.
Hmm.
That's coming off of a high of when he was winning MVPs and was like the head down 35 a game.
Uh-huh.
The difference is, LeBron is doing it. At age 38, he's putting up numbers that most people put up. Kareem was 24 when he averaged 35 a game. LeBron's 38 and averaging 28 a game.
I've
never seen anything like it.
How much more? Like, what? Let me ask it a different way. What would surprise you? You're like, no. Could he do this three more years?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Could he do it 5 more years?
I think that's the cutoff. So, you know, do it. You mean at this level?
So he'd be 43 for 5 more years?
To where he is still, as often as he is, as he isn't, he's the best player on the court.
Probably, I would say 3 years, John.
Yeah, if I was giving him a free agent contract, I think I'd give him 3. I'd pay him max money for 3 years.
The only problem with all that, and this year is a perfect example, I don't think Bron wants to be posting up 30 a game.
Probably right? not, but that he can,
that he
I
can,
think, is the
That he
the
can,
point.
Absolutely. But big picture, it was
right now he has
be,
to with Anthony Davis. They got no choice.
But that was kind of the idea and the concept these last couple of years. It was AD supposed to kind
pass
of take
the
over.
Baton,
what was the
right.
question that you asked about the record in the second half? Because today starts the second half of the season that you asked me earlier.
I think I said 24 and can they go 24-17 in the final 41 games? Is that crazy to say?
You know what's interesting about that? I don't know if you did this for this reason. Do you know this, that they play 24 home games and 17 road games?
No, I did not know that.
They do. Yeah, that's the breakdown for the next 41 starting tonight. 24 at home, 17 on the road.
To be 7 over .500 after being under .500 through the first half of the season seems like.
It all depends on Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
It always does. It all depends on Anthony Davis. I mean, if he comes back, if Anthony Davis comes back in the week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks that they're saying, and plays the way he played during that stretch, where he really attacks, then I think 24-17 is possible. If Anthony Davis misses significant time, I just don't know that LeBron can carry that team to a record of over 7 games over .500 second half.
Here's something to think about. They started 2-10.
Mm-hmm.
On the night they lost the
Denver game?
They lost a game to Sacramento to drop to 2-10.
Okay, yep.
Since then, they're 17-11.
Mm-hmm.
Since they kind of figured some things out. So, they could go.
And that's with AD missing, I think, 16 games this season.
Yeah,
something
big
like
chunk.
That, so.
Big chunk.
Well, it's not just missing games. It's when he comes back. It's
17-12 now that they lost the other night.
Do you get the Anthony Davis that was kind of inconsistent and one night was great and one night was kind of uninspiring? Or do you get the guy you got right before he got hurt who was the best player in the league for 3 weeks? That's the other thing that you just don't know.
Well, and you don't. Here's the thing: when you have a stress injury in your foot too, you don't know if he starts playing again, if the foot's just going to start getting sore again, and then you have to shut it down and either get surgery or stay off it for 6 months.
That's when we'll have a lot of chips and salsa.
Yeah, a lot of chips and salsa.
Still going bread and butter. Sticking with my original call. Mason in Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.